Hi, my name is Leo Bartarella, and I'm a writer and reporter with Becker's Hospital Review. Today, I'll be joined by Lloyd Dean, the co-CEO of Common Spirit Health. Lloyd, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Of course. So can you tell us a little bit about your background and what drew you to healthcare?
Yeah, it's an interesting journey. You know, when I first started thinking about healthcare, you know, I was really in fifth grade. I really didn't know what was going on. In my early childhood, you know, I grew up in a very small town in Michigan, and I come from a family of nine kids. So there were, you know, with my parents, there were 11 of us living in a three-bedroom home. And in my community, we had no access to regular care. And what we now know as economic disparities and a lack of access, I experienced it. But at fifth grade age, I only knew that because I was being bused about 8 miles to a upper middle class school, I saw the difference that people with healthcare had as opposed to my community, because in my community, people were certainly adversely affected by the lack of healthcare. And what I mean by that is that many of them were forced to deal with health-related afflictions that now, in retrospect, I believe could have been avoided had there been adequate healthcare and adequate access to healthcare. And so, kind of from that time on, in the back of my mind was always this passion about what can I do to make sure what I saw in my community, things happening. You know, I remember when my grandfather got what I now know was prostate cancer. You know, it was a long, long time, well into it, at his final stage before he ever went to a doctor. And that was because of economic reasons and also because of access. So in short, those kind of things stayed with me. And coming from a large family, as I got older, I said, you know, I want to do something about this. And I don't want my younger brothers and sisters to be impacted like I was.
Wow, that's great. Now, you, up until very recently, were the CEO of Dignity Health out in San Francisco, which recently merged with CHI to form Common Spirit Health. Can you tell us a little bit about how the formation of Common Spirit came about?
Yeah, I'd love to. On February 1st, we combined with Catholic Health Initiatives to form this new national system that is now Common Spirit Health. Our goal was to leverage the individual strengths of the two organizations so that we can improve the health of more people in the communities that we've been given an opportunity to serve. I had certainly known of Catholic Health Initiatives for, you know, a long time and had a lot of respect for the things that they were doing. And we, a few years ago, about 3.5 years ago, decided that both of us had an interest in genomics and in precision medicine, so we put together a partnership. But in terms of kind of the real, you know, nucleus of the reasons that we came together was that we figured that we could, if we do this right, become an organization that would be at the forefront of addressing some of the complexities and some of the challenges of a national healthcare crisis that we're facing in this country. And I know you know this, but when you think about the fact that there's more than 27 million Americans who don't have insurance that covers their care needs, that get up every day and they roll the dice and they have to make choices between, am I going to put food on the table for my child, or am I going to spend dollars on healthcare or on pharmaceuticals, which are a part of that? Or am I going to pay the rent, or am I going to spend dollars on healthcare? We also know that the cost of healthcare in this country, no matter, you know, where you look, there's articles about it's just not sustainable. So while our costs are going up, our outcomes are going down. And so what that was a motivation for us, because we feel that what we want to do is try to break down the barriers to better health and to better healthcare for people in this country. And we felt that if we combined our resources, if we combined our best practices, if we combined our know-how and our people and our experiences, that we could make a difference. And basically in two ways. One, by improving health within the communities. And at again, the center of that is addressing social needs along with health needs and the issue of cost. And by innovating for the patients to be at the center of their care. And one of the things that every day when I'm talking to patients, and that no matter what focus group you have, or if you're talking to physicians, one of the things that we hear from patients is that they want it to be more, or their care to be more personalized, and they want it to be convenient. So in summary, we felt that by coming together, that we could use technology, we could use innovation, we could use our best practices, we could use the differences between our two systems, because as an example, you know, a CHI is known for the work that it does with older adults and the work that it does in home care. We're known for the work that we do, you know, on the acute care side and the partnerships that we do with technological companies. So we felt that the marriage would be a good one, and that coming together, we could make a difference in healthcare in this country, and that we are would be stronger together than we were apart.
That's great. Now, what are you most excited about this coming year?
Wow, I'm excited about a lot. Number one, I'm just excited that, you know, we have closed and we are now one system, Common Spirit Health. I'm excited that we have hit the ground running on our mission to support healthier communities and to be a voice for the voiceless and the most vulnerable. I'm thrilled that we have begun the architecture for leveraging innovation and improving quality. I'm excited about the focus that we have that I think will be unique in this country at the level that we're focusing on social determinants of health, and that's getting to the root cause of and getting to the social causes that lead to poor health and chronic diseases. I'm excited about, you know, the fact that, you know, we've got like 150,000 employees, and I consider all those 150,000 who are the closest to where care is given, and that is to our patients, that, you know, they will help us make the necessary adjustments and alignments to be that system that we desire to be, the best, you know, clinical system that we can be, again, using innovation technology, but capitalizing also on our human capital, and that we want to create a system that people around the country see as quality, innovative, kind, and compassionate, but also helps them receive healthcare when they need it, where they want it, how they want it, and cost effectively.
Now, what do you think will be the biggest challenge facing the new system? And what are your plans to address it?
Yeah. And, you know, and I do, you know, people ask me, you know, how do you sleep at night? And I tease and I say, I sleep with one eye open because I'm always trying to look for ways to help address this question that you just raised. But I think, you know, obviously in today's world of changing, the changing landscape of healthcare, we face a lot of challenges. But one of our biggest challenges will be moving away from this concept of sick care by focusing on wellness and prevention and improving the health of the community overall. We are setting forth a hypothesis that encourages patients to seek out regular a lower cost prevention services instead of ignoring their health problems until they need acute emergency services, which we know is the most costly way of getting care. And again, I started with one of the, I think the biggest challenges we face is that we have upwards of 30 million people. And in the communities that we serve, many of that number, you know, we will touch because with our new footprint, we have the capability to touch one out of every four Americans. And so of that 30 million, we will have the potential to interface with a significant number of those. And it is a challenge that they don't have a way to cover the totality of their healthcare needs.
So how do you feel about the CommonSpirit headquarters being in Chicago?
Oh, I'm excited about that. I don't know, you know, I came to, at the time, Dignity Health, now CommonSpirit Health, from Chicago. And I was thrilled when we decided to locate our national office in Chicago, having lived there probably longer than I've lived anywhere in my lifetime, because prior to coming to CHW, which became Dignity Health, I was the executive vice president of operations for Advocate Healthcare. So I was based in the Chicago area, and I grew to really appreciate the city, to appreciate the people. I like, you know, the whole vibe of Chicago. I think it's a great city. It's got a lot of energy. It's the intersection of both business and healthcare. There are a lot of arts there, a great culture. And in addition, it's easy to access from any part of our footprint, which spans 21 states, and it sits at the center of the United States. And we think it will help us grow and be able to establish partnerships across the country. And then finally, it's a sports town, and I, whether it's the Bears, the Bulls, the Blackhawks, by and large, they're always going to be in the mix for one of the top teams in the country.
Yeah, as someone who just lived through a Chicago winter, I'm tempted to bring it up to someone who's been out on the West Coast for a while, but I won't put you through that yet.
You'll just you don't have to, because I get back to Chicago a lot, and the Hawk, as we call it, is well alive. I was there this year, and it was 30 below, so I know exactly what you're talking about. But the good news is, it's not all year. The bad news is that wind can cut you right down to your knees.
So what is your vision for CommonSpirit in the next 5 years?
Yeah, I spent some time thinking about that, because I think as one of the CEOs, it's important that I reflect on that and be able to articulate that vision. But I am hopeful and pray that in 5 years that we will have impacted healthcare in this country for the better, and that we will have used these vast resources that we have been blessed with to begin to address social determinants of health, that we will be a ministry or a system that's recognized for having created programs and put systems in place to address health equities, that we will have used our partnerships with technology organizations to help get patient information to the patients in almost an instant form, and that we will have used technology to take some of the redundancies and some of the unnecessary forms out of the system, so that, again, we have information readily available for our providers and for our physicians and for our nurses, but most importantly, for the patients, so that they will understand their care, can see their role as an active quarterback of the care that they need. And also, you know, part of my five-year vision is that we will have come up with methodologies where cost is superseded by value, and that in the eye of the patient or the consumer, that they feel that there's a balance between the service that they get and the reimbursement or cost that they pay for their services. And finally, that we are a system or a ministry that is viewed as not just in communities, but of the communities, partnering with other community-based organizations, other healthcare providers, and that we are impacting health status in communities.
Well, that sounds amazing. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me today and speak about all of this, Lloyd. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate you asking the questions, because I think these are important conversations for us to be having in this country at this time. Thank you very much.
Thank you all for listening. For more podcast interviews, visit beckershospitalreview.com and click on the multimedia tab. For podcast inquiries, email dfreeman@beckershealthcare.com. Until next time, this is Leo Bartarella.